Where are you, Marty?
I'm home.
They had to let me go after 3 days. Like Jesus.
That's nice.
You watching the game?
Yeah, I got it on.
Here's the Yankee shortstop, Bucky Dent now.
Bucky Dent? Ah, automatic out. I wish they had 9 Bucky Dents.
I like Bucky Dent. He's a good glove, great contact hitter. Sox are going to blow it like they do every year since 1918.
That's a clip from the indie dramedy Bucky Effing Dent. It was written, directed, and stars David Duchovny. David is best known as Fox Mulder from The X-Files and Hank Moody from Californication. But he is also an accomplished author, and this film is an adaptation of his novel of the same name. It's a touching and hilarious father-son story set against the heartbreaking 1978 Boston Red Sox season. David plays Marty, a diehard Sox fan living in New York, who has just found out that he's facing a terminal illness. His son Ted, played by Logan Marshall Green, comes to care for him during his final summer. The movie also stars Brooklyn Nine-Nine Stephanie Beatrice as Marty's nurse, Mariana. The film is filled with Duchovny's trademark deadpan black humor as the three of them grapple with aging, regret, love, loss, dying, and perhaps most importantly, the lessons failure teaches you. That theme may be on David's mind right now, as he is also the host of the upcoming podcast, Fail Better. It's a podcast that explores failure in all its forms. He joins us now to talk about Bucky Effing Dent, the concept of failure, and why, even as an award-winning actor and director, his first love may just be writing.
Growing up, I didn't know any actors. I had no friends whose parents were actors. I grew up in Manhattan. It wasn't a life that I thought was viable, or even I didn't know about it. You know, I watched television or I saw a movie, and I didn't think about what do those people do when they're not doing that. I just kind of took them at face value on the screen. My dad worked in public relations, but he was a novelist, and he published his first novel when he was 75, finally. But he always said he was a novelist, and writers were his heroes. My mother was an educator and writing, and she taught kids how to read for 35 years in New York, and so reading and writing was paramount to her. So it was really the family business, I guess you could say, or the family interest, the family passion, and that's how I would have thought of myself in that line.
He needs you to help him finish his novel.
Novel?
Not a novel he's actually writing down. He's rewriting it in his mind. A novel of his life.
I don't follow.
Let me try and explain to you your father's thinking right now.
There are a million ways to tell a life story. As a comedy, as a tragedy, as a profane fairy tale where baseball teams keep you alive.
In Bucky Effing Dent, Mariana says there are a million ways to tell a life story. Out of the millions of ways to tell this story, what was it about the 1978 Boston Red Sox season that inspired you?
Like any novel, well, in my experience of writing a novel, what happens is you seize upon an idea, some shell of an idea, and then other ideas start to stick to it, and you start to see a shape where all these ideas are cohering. And with Bucky Effing Dent, it was initially just hearing that term. I was in Massachusetts, and I'd never heard that term before. Having grown up in New York, Bucky was a hero. He wasn't the villain, which he is for Boston fans. And the phrase just stuck with me, and I thought it was funny, and it caught my ear. Americans seem to be obsessed with winning, and I think losing makes us human way more than winning. Suffering is a much greater teacher than any kind of success. So I was looking philosophically at that phenomenon around me, and all of a sudden, just this idea of this unheralded guy sneaking up and dashing a city's hopes, you know, this unheralded guy becoming hugely successful in this one moment could hang my ideas. I could hang my ideas on it. And then something had happened with my daughter when she was only 9 months old. She got very ill. And it's very much the template for the relationship between the father and the son. Here, the son gets very ill when he's 9 months old, and the father then has trouble kind of reattaching to that son, having feared losing him. These are just two of the kind of strains that started to come together. And, you know, it turned into the novel and turned into the movie.
Yeah. And speaking of the novel turning into the movie, at what point did you know you wanted to adapt the novel into a film?
Well, I actually wrote it as a screenplay first.
Oh, okay.
I wrote it as a screenplay first. I tried to make it with me as the son. That was probably 2005 or six. I wrote the screenplay. And then it was just sitting around, and I hadn't been able to make it, and I got older. I thought, I really want to tell that story. I had written one novel, Holy Cow, and I just thought, well, I want to get that story out there in whatever form. So if it has to be a novel, let's see what kind of a novel it makes. Then I wrote the novel, and it got a good reception, and I was able to write another screenplay based upon the novel. The novel ended up being the most, you know, extensive directorial research you could ever want. You know, it was really fleshing out all the scenes that I had in the screenplay.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the films and or directors that inspired you?
I mean, I grew up watching the great 70s films like Harold and Maude or Shampoo. But I think Five Easy Pieces is definitely a touchstone for this because of the father-son relationship in that. But it's less of a Shaggy Dog story than Five Easy Pieces. It's more of a plot-driven relationship than that movie. You know, the 70s, you could get away without really having a plot to hang something on, but you can't anymore.
What's this novel about? What's the plot?
Well, I think plot is a dead 19th century bourgeois convention.
People love plots. You dumped 756 pages of crickets on me. This is like fake French New Wave. You bash me over the head with a baguette for 3 hours.
Well, people love baguettes.
Stephanie Beatrice is best known for her role on Brooklyn Nine-Nine and to Kids Across America as Mirabelle from Disney's Encanto. And she stars as Mariana. She has a very emotional scene late in the movie that is really moving and understated. What was your direction to her, and what was it like working with her?
Well, I knew Stephanie only from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, really. And it's my opinion that people who can do comedy can do anything, not necessarily vice versa. So when I saw her on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I just thought she could really do this. And that scene that you're talking about is towards the end of the movie where she gets the phone call from Ted.
I'm sorry, Ted, I have to go. They're calling me.
Life goes on, huh?
Yeah, for some.
She just had it at her command. She could just do it. She's a deep person. And she cries this big fat tear that you kind of see. I'm sure you saw it on your laptop or something, but if you ever get a chance to see it on a big screen, you'll see there's this big tear that just falls out of her eye. And just that kind of stuff is just magic when it happens.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. The film sometimes feels like a two-hander, especially the scenes between you and Logan Marshall Green, who plays your son, Ted. Can you walk us through how you two prepared for this and worked together?
Well, Logan loves rehearsing, which was good for me because he kind of pushed me to rehearse as an actor for this, because I probably wouldn't have, set out that time for myself to rehearse as Marty. So Logan and I, a month before we were shooting, we were just reading through scenes, and he actually read the novel and pitched a couple of lines and moments that were in the novel that weren't in my screenplay that I eventually ended up putting back in. So Logan was very in tune with, he's directed, so he was very in tune with the directorial vision of it. And then we would just, over Zoom, we would just run the scenes and rehearse and explore. And I gave him a free rein to create this character.
Mm-hmm. And there's really good chemistry between you. And also there's a resemblance. So we really buy into the father-son relationship. You mentioned that Logan read your novel, and pulled a few lines from the novel to include into the screenplay. Can you tell us what those lines were, or would that be a spoiler?
No, I would tell you if I could remember.
Okay.
They were mostly Marty's lines, like the father lines. It wasn't even Logan being like, hey, I like this line for myself. It was really just, I love this line for the movie. I'm not withholding it from you. I honestly can't recall.
Oh, yeah, I believe you. That's totally understandable. But yeah, both Marty and Ted have some great lines. Well, everybody in the film has great lines, thanks to your writing and a little help from Logan. The movie balances some very different tones. There's a lot of humor in the first half that pays off the drama in the second half of the movie. What was your approach to that balance?
That's what I've been working my entire life with, my entire creative life as an actor, as a writer. That's my tone, I guess. I mean, I don't set forth saying this is my tone, but it seems to be that's where I live. So I'm going for laughs, I'm going for absurdity, and then I'm going for tears, and I'm going for the heart. And that's just, it's what I like when I go to a movie. Like The Holdovers, I would say, is kind of a similar vibe to what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. It's the kind of movies that I fell in love with, and it's the kind of writing that I do. So I realize it's a hard tone sometimes, because especially in Hollywood, people like to define things. They like it to be easily defined. So if you had to pitch this movie to somebody, it'd be tough to pitch, because you'd say you're laughing a lot and then you're crying. So I understand. You can't say it's a comedy. You can't say it's a drama. That's what I like, though.
Yeah, me too. That's what's great about it. You've got these two different genres and you wove them together so well. There are a ton of themes and lessons in your story, philosophies about love, regret, aging, dying, parenting, and remaking your reality. Was there one life lesson that stands out to you as the most important?
I think it goes back to your first question, which is, you referenced there's a million ways to tell a story. Mm-hmm. And I think what Mariana says to Ted in the first scene where they meet in the hospital, and she's walking him to the room where Marty is ill.
He's been a villain. He's been a victim. He's been a scapegoat. Now he just wants to die a hero.
To me, it's the lesson, if there is a lesson in the movie, is that you have to figure out imaginatively, creatively, and spiritually the way to tell your story that is best for you, best for those around you. None of it's going to be true, but the slant is how you mature. The slant is how you lead a creative and fulfilled life, is how you tell your story. It's up to you.
Yeah, very well said. Besides writing and directing, you're going to be hosting a podcast called Fail Better. Do you mind sharing an elevator pitch of what the pod will be about?
It's very, very similar to the themes of Bucky Effing Dent, because the final scene with Marty and Ted is, you know, he says he's heartbroken that Bucky has hit this home run, because he's a Boston fan.
Yeah.
But he ends up saying, you know, God, you know, he wasn't supposed to do that. He's not the best player, but he's like us, Ted. He's like us. He's just a regular guy, you know? So God bless Bucky Effing Dent. He ends up blessing him.
It's never Babe Ruth that blindsides you. Never Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, or Reggie Jackson. It's always the little thing you didn't prepare for. A little tickle in your throat that puts you in your grave. It's always Bucky Dent. Don't let the Yankees fool you, Teddy. Life's not like the Yankees with their rings and champagne. Life's not about winning. Life's about losing. Life belongs to the losers, like you and me, Teddy.
And I think Fail Better is philosophically akin to that, because it's really, in my life, I've never learned anything from something that went well. I've only learned through failing, either personally or professionally. And the creation of resilience, or, you know, the letting go of regret or shame that's around failure, it's very interesting to me to have those conversations. And again, I said that losing makes us brothers and sisters, and winning makes you stand apart and alienated in a way.
Yeah, very well said. So obviously, I'm guessing, well, nothing's ever obvious, but I mean, the title of your podcast, Fail Better, that comes from the famous Samuel Beckett quote, right? Try again, fail again, fail better.
Ever tried, ever failed, yeah. Try again, fail again, fail better.
Yeah, yeah, from his story, Westward Ho, I believe it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious, have you read Joe Moran's book, If You Should Fail, A Book of Solace?
No.
Oh, because that's a book you might want to look into. Not that you,
maybe I should have him. I should have him on the show.
Yeah, you probably should, because yeah, he's British. I think he's a good talker, but his book touches on the very things you were talking about, that failure isn't failing. That it's, you know, there is a positive spin. It's okay to fail.
Right.
And so you might want to, yeah, you should have him on the podcast. You should check out that book.
Moran.
Moran, yeah.
Which is, I believe, the name of the detective in Beckett's novels, The Unnameable.
Yes, you're right. Good. So yeah, I didn't catch that, but yeah, you're right. He also wrote, Joe Moran also wrote this good book before the failure book. He wrote a book called First You Write a Sentence, which is a book about writing, but you already know how to do that. So,
well, it's,
you know,
always interesting to read about. I'm going to definitely reach out to the producers of the podcast and see if that's a, thank you for that.
That's a great idea. Sure. Yeah. David Duchovny, thank you very much for joining us today. Congratulations on Bucky Effing Dent.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This was a pleasure.
David Duchovny is the writer, director, and star of Bucky Effing Dent. It's based on his novel of the same name. Find out more about David at WPR.org/beta.
I love the notion of just getting over it. You know, I'm going to get over this someday. I might as well get over it now.
Coming up, T-Bone Burnett joins us to talk about his first new solo album in 20 years, The Other Side. It was well worth the wait. We'll see you on the other side of this short break. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.